morning, what I want you to appreciate as I bring forth my lesson, I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint here behind me, and I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I got to say here today. So your faith is going to have to stand on the wisdom and teaching of some in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 5. The church here, under the direction of our eldership, has made a theme for this year as a church with 2020 vision. The little subtitle says, "Let's see clearly together." Last month, we talked a little bit about the Word of God, that we might understand and a little bit be more fully informed in regards to what the Word of God is all about and how it impacts our life and how we should be impacted by the things that it has to say and inform our lives with teachings. And this month, we're going to focus in on Jesus. We're going to talk about our Savior and learn a little bit more about Him and see Him for what He is for each and every one of us this morning. You know, if people are asked, "What do you think other people want?" Invariably, surveys like that come back with things like money, power, fame, prestige. But also, just as invariably, if you ask people what they want, they'll say things like peace, happiness, joy. You see, many times those other things we talk about, money, power,
prestige,
and things of this nature, is just what people think will provide them those things. But truly, all of us here today, and those on the outside the fold of Jesus Christ, want the same things. We want peace. We need rest. We want joy. We want hope of something better. I want you to understand, as you think about and consider all those things here this morning, is that Jesus is the answer for these. If you turn over your Bibles to the book of John
in chapter
11, there's one verse
there I'd like to
focus on here for just about 32 seconds. John chapter 11 in verse 35. I've worked all week in memorizing this verse. Check me on it. Jesus wept. Many of you who have ever played Bible trivia too know that that is the shortest verse in the Bible. But I got to tell you, it is. But it is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. Because as I think about that, not only does that show me the humanity of Jesus Christ on this occasion, but what I've always been struck by this story is the occasion of its writing. You see, if you look in the context, you'll see that Jesus was at the grave of a friend that had recently died. One of the things that's always struck me about that is who Jesus was. I mean, I can make that a sermon here today. Who was Jesus? Well,
Paul said in
Romans 1 verse 4, declared he with power to be the Son
of God
by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But beyond that, John would tell us in John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God, and all things were created by Him, and nothing was created without Him that was made. In verse 10 of John chapter 1, I read, He made the world, but He was in the world. In John chapter 1:14, I read, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God in the flesh. Paul said, let this mind be in you also, which was in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. For Jesus,
being
in the form of God, did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself of no reputation, was made in the form of a servant and made in the likeness of men. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Being God was not something for Jesus to grasp. John the Baptist who would say, "Here, Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And my point of all that is this: when I consider who Jesus is, and when I think about where he's at on this occasion, I mean, you would think that someone like that would always be someplace in a high place where things are happening, where huge decisions are being made. But on this occasion, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is in some no-name town at the grave of some no-name poor man. Morning, that Jesus is the answer. The question, where do I find peace and rest in this life? Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is Jesus. No stress, no anxiety, no problem. You can find it in Jesus. In Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, do not think or worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or your body, what you shall put on. Jesus, you want to live a carefree life? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11 in verse 28. Listen to the invitation of Jesus here this morning. John 14:27. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither be afraid. The world's peace lasts just for a moment. You know, man of the world, I mean, he's at peace when he finally gets the payroll check, right? But then at the weekend, it's over with. He's anxious again. It's not the kind of peace that Jesus gives. Jesus says, I give you my peace, an everlasting peace. These things, Jesus, that I've spoken to you, that you might have peace. In this world, you're going to have troubles, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've overcome all the problems of this life that you're going to face. I'm the answer. I'm the answer to your trouble and your anxiety and your stress. Paul said, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Now listen to this verse 7. And the peace of God that passes understanding shall guard your hearts and minds. Now watch. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the answer for peace and rest. Where do we find happiness? Where can I find happiness in a world of sin and sorrow? Many think, oh, if I just made more money, I would be happy. The wise man had a comment about that. It's in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 7. Whosoever seeks silver shall not be satisfied with silver, neither he who wishes abundance with abundance. It's just not satisfying. Jesus in Luke 12 and verse 15, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of the things which he has. Life is more than that. That's the reason why we can look and see on our 24-hour news channels today celebrities and powerful men and women who seemingly have the world's possessions, have it all. But yet on full display for all of us to see, they live their miserable lives. Because life is more than that. And so as you consider that, if they can't be happy, how can I be? The psalmist would say, happy is a man that walks not in the counsel, but is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. It brings forth its fruit in its seasons. Its leaves shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. That's the reason why the Lord would say in John 13 and verse 17, if you know these things, if you'll do them. Jesus is the answer for your happiness. Someone says, well, wait a second, Brian. What about this? What about the consequences? want you to understand here this morning is that Jesus provides the solution for all of those things. In the book of Romans 6 and verse 23, Paul there says, "For the wages of sin, or the consequences of sin, is death. But the gift of God is everlasting life." That's the reason why Jesus would say in Luke 19 and verse 10, "For I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." And what Paul would say in verse 21 and verse 15, that this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We've been studying the book of Matthew chapter 20. In the book of Mark chapter 10 verse 45 is a counterpart of one of the passages toward the end of chapter 20 when he says, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus says, "I've paid the debt for that sin. Who loved us and washed our sins away in his own blood." Jesus Christ did not want you to live a life of guilt and anxiety and stress and shame and brokenness, which all those things sin provides. Because Jesus is the answer to all those things in your life. Jesus is the answer to the fear of death. When was the last time you heard someone get that phone call? "Oh no." When? Or when was the last time you were on your way and all of a sudden your car was confronted with a funeral procession? Last time you drove by a graveyard. Most of us probably drove right by one. You know, death is not something we like to talk about. It's not our favorite mealtime conversation. We don't have parties so we can all sit around and talk about our feelings of death. But it's always there. It's always on the periphery of our lives and all that we say and all that we do. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2 and verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," that is, a flesh and blood body, "he also," as Jesus, "likewise took part in the same, that through death," that happiness in this world? It's in Jesus. Where do I find the solution for sin? It's Jesus. How to overcome the fear of death, my own death, the death of my loved ones? That's through Jesus. Where do I find salvation? The answer is apparent. Jesus. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ laid down his life for you because he wishes you to be his friend. He is the answer now and forever in our lives. You listen well this morning. I appreciate that very much. I'm about to stand and sing a song of invitation and encourage you this morning. Maybe there's one of our audience not being obedient to the word of Jesus when he said, go into the world, preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes it not shall be condemned. This will be a wonderful opportunity to repent in your sin, confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we'll baptize you.